Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, entitled Description of the Kingdom of God. Text 3. Deva Uchu
Deva Uchu
Tama Eta Vibhu Veta
Tama Eta Vibhu Veta
Sambhigya Yad Vayam Brisham
Sambhigya Yad Vayam Brisham
Naya Naya Vaktam Bhagavata Kalena Sprista Vatmana Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Esa Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The fortunate demigod said, O Great One, just see this darkness, which you know very well, and which is causing us anxieties. Because the influence of time cannot touch you, there is nothing unmanifest before you. Please repeat, the fortunate demigod said,
Fortunate
O Great One,
just see this darkness,
which you know very well,
and which is causing us anxieties.
Because the influence of time
cannot touch you,
there is nothing unmanifest before you. Purport. Brahma is addressed herein as Vibhu and as the personality of Godhead. He is the supreme personality of Godhead's incarnation of the mode of passion in the material world. He is non-different in the representative sense from the supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, the influence of time cannot affect him. The influence of time, which manifests as past, present, and future, cannot touch higher personalities like Brahma and other demigods. Sometimes demigods and great sages who have attained such perfection are called Trikalagyan. Translation, the fortunate demigod said, O Great One, just see this darkness, which you know very well, and which is causing us anxieties. Because the influence of time cannot touch you, there is nothing unmanifest before you. So the demigods, they were in anxiety because the light of the sun, the moon, in all the planets was impaired. And there appeared to be complete darkness. And this was due to the pregnancy of deity because she became pregnant at an inauspicious time in the evening. Because of lusty desires. Therefore, her pregnancy, she received the two demoniac personalities, Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha, within her womb. And it just shows how powerful these demoniac personalities were, that the light from the sun and the moon was impaired in all the planets throughout the whole universe, just because of the pregnancy. Having these two very demoniac personalities within her womb. Of course, we understand that they are also very great personalities. They are Jaya and Vijaya from the spiritual world. So they're no ordinary personalities. The doorkeepers of the spiritual world.
And we all know the story because they were cursed by the four Kumaras because they refused the entry of the four Kumaras into the spiritual world. They were cursed to take birth either as three times as demons, three births as demons, or seven times as devotees. And they chose to come as demons so that they could wind up their business in the material world more quickly and go back to the spiritual world. So, seemingly they appeared to be great, great demons, but they were actually Jayam Vijay in disguise, just undergoing the curse. So, such influence and power did they have that all the demigods, up to the level of Lord Brahma, were completely bewildered and in anxiety. Now, this Prabhupada says the modern day demons like the Hitlers and the Napoleons and the Stalins and the Pol Pots, no, they're nothing. They're just small time demons compared to these big demons. No, when they were in the womb of their mothers, they didn't have such influence. There was no influence like this upon the planets of the universe. So this is for the demigods to be in such anxious, anxiety situation is natural in such a situation. Because even the great demigods, they're affected by anxiety and fear, the dualities of material existence. Even birth and death exist in the higher planets. Aprama, Bhuvana, Loka, Puna, Abhatana, Jira, Mamo, Peta, Tukunta, Yampuna, Janmana, Vijate, from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest. All are places of misery where repeated birth and death takes place. And we hear that the demigods, one of their great fears is they're always fearful of the demons attacking them. So naturally they were very fearful, understanding that these two living entities within the womb of deity were very powerful demons sent to disturb their situation, because the demons are always disturbing the demigods or the demons or the devotees. And this is natural. Even the demigods are affected by this anxiety. What to speak of us, insignificant living entities. Living entities basically in the whole material world are governed by this fear. The prophet says, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, the conditioned souls are constantly affected and addicted to these activities. But the hardest propensity to give up is this fearing propensity. Srila Prabhupada would quote this verse in the 11th canto, Bhayam dvityabhi naveshita shad, shad apatesha vipayo smriti, tanmaya yato bhure apachet tam, vaidyaka yesham guru deva tatma. States that fear arises when the living entity misidentifies himself as this material body because of the absorption in the external energy of the Supreme Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he forgets his constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. And this fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage in unflinching devotional service to the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and as his very life and soul. So all conditioned souls are under this fearful condition because of taking this material body to be their self. Yashatma buddhi kunapitvi daduke svadikala tradition bhoma ejidin. Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam states that one who takes this bodily bag of mucus, bile and air to be his self, who has an affinity for an intimate relationship for his mundane family members and friends, and who takes his place of birth as worshipable, and even he goes to a holy place, but he doesn't go there to seek out the guidance and association of self-realized souls, but he just goes for sightseeing and bathing in the holy places. Sa-eva-gokara, his mentality is considered no better than a cow or an ass. So we can understand that for the demigods to be in such a fearful condition, this is natural for most of them, because most of the demigods, they're not pure devotees. They're still under the influence of the modes of material nature. Certain demigods, rare demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they are pure devotees. They are mahajans. So this situation is understandable. Just like ourselves, when we're surrounded by darkness, probably all of us have been in that situation, maybe in the darkness, in the middle of night, there's no light. It's very fearful. And one is very uncertain of, you know, where he is or what's going to happen, or fearful of thieves and rogues. Srila Prabhupada says that thieves and rogues, they abound in the darkness, the middle of the night. So in such a dark situation, or the darkness of illusion, the darkness of Kali Yuga, people are always very fearful and in anxiety, always stressed, because they don't have any knowledge. Knowledge is considered to be like the real light, illumination, to dispel all one's illusions. The illusions that I am this body, that I belong in this material world, that I can be happy by sense gratification, that I have no connection with the Supreme Lord, that there is no God. Srila Prabhupada, when he went to London, the reporters asked him, when he came in at the airport, "Swamiji, why have you come here?" And he said, "I've come to teach you that there is God and that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Some of you are saying there is no God. Some of you are saying that God is dead. Some of you are saying that I am God, that we are all God. But I've come to kick out this nonsense and prove that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So without transcendental knowledge, then we remain in the darkness of illusion, in the darkness of Kali Yuga. And as we understand, according to the Shastras and the guidance of our spiritual master, and by practical observation, the darkness of Kali Yuga is very, very deep. Kale doshe nidhera jan astaheka mahadgana kitanadeva krishna shan mukta sangha paramvijet. The age of Kali, the ocean of Kali is like, the age of Kali is like an ocean of faults, but there's one good quality. Kirtanadeva Krishna Shah, by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can be freed from all such illusions and promoted immediately to the transcendental platform and going back home, back to Godhead. So there's so much darkness out there. It's all pervading in Kali Yuga, just like this all pervading of darkness we see with the demigods due to the influence of these great demons. So all around us, we're surrounded in Kali Yuga by massive sinful activity, meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication on a massive scale. 99% of the population engaged in these activities. And taking these activities to be normal. They have no transcendental knowledge, so they can't see that the activities they're performing are very heinous and very demoniac and lead to a very dark future. So in such a situation, the devotees, just like in such a situation as of Kali Yuga, distressful situation in the world, the devotees, those who are serious about spiritual life and getting freed from the influence of such demoniac situations, pray to the Lord with fervent prayers for shelter, for guidance, for getting solutions from the problems of material existence. Like Srila Prabhupada says, the problems of material existence is birth, death, old age and disease. Janma mricha jara vyadhi dukha doshana darshanam. One should see from his own experience in his own life that his body is undergoing birth, old age, disease and finally death. And one should see that one's father, forefathers, grandfather, etc. have gone through this same process and died. And why will any of us not undergo the same situation? Even though we may be engaged in devotional service, we still have a material body that is subject to these problems. So therefore, one should take complete shelter of a bona fide spiritual master to solve all the problems and anxieties of material existence, just like we see with the demigods here. They're praying to Lord Brahma to solve these anxieties, because they understand that Lord Brahma is a very, very elevated soul. He's a pure devotee. He's a Mahajan. He's the head of our Sampradaya, Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya. He's like the original spiritual master in the universe. And as Srila Prabhupada said, he's not affected by time. He's not under the influence of time. Time cannot touch higher personalities like Brahma and other demigods. It's not under the modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada says, Tri Kala Gyan, meaning he knows past, present and future. So there's 12 great Mahajans mentioned in the... third canto. Does anyone know that? Svayambhu, Narada, Svayambhu, Komara, Kapalamanu. What's the rest of that verse? Pralado Janako Bhishmo, Bali Vayasaki Vayam. That these 12 great personalities, Svayambhu Vamanu, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the four Kumaras, Janaka Maharaj, Bhishma Dev, Bali Maharaj, Yamaraj. Did I miss any? Sorry? Right. So all these personalities, they're very highly elevated Mahajans who know the religious principles. They know completely what is the goal of life. They know the transcendental nature of Krishna and their relationship with him, and they know the process perfectly in which all the devotees can come back under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So just as the demigods are taking full shelter under the bona fide spiritual master, Lord Brahma, so we should always take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master to be free from all illusions of material life and the fearfulness of the material world. Tasmat gurum prabhajeta jigyasa shreya uttamam. That one who desires real happiness must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. The qualification of the bona fide spiritual master is that he has realized the meanings of the bona fide scriptures and is able to convince others of such conclusions. So this is the Vedic culture. Srila Prabhupada would say this is the Vedic culture. Everyone would have a spiritual master whom they would always turn to for guidance, not only in distressful times but in all times, to take constant guidance and shelter, to traverse the modes of material nature and the illusions of material existence, and to be always situated on the spiritual plane. And Krishna Krishna, Lord Krishna, he advises in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvadi Pranipate Na Parik Prashna Nisevaya. We should just try to learn the truth by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So this humbly inquiring and rendering service to the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, one should not make absurd inquiries. One should make humble, intelligent inquiries how to advance in Krishna consciousness and render humble menial service to the spiritual master. And in the Vedic culture, Srila Prabhupada would say that even the prostitutes would have a guru, a spiritual master. Even the prostitutes were devotees of Krishna. What to speak of higher personalities. And even Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, they set the example for all of us by taking on a spiritual master themselves, Sandipani Muni. And they were rendering menial service to the spiritual master, even though they're the Supreme Personality of Godhead themselves, going to the forest, collecting firewood. And we understand the story of Krishna and Sudama the Brahmana. They went to the forest to collect firewood for their spiritual master, and they got caught in a severe thunderstorm, torrential rain, and they couldn't come home. And their spiritual master and all the other, their friends were thinking, now where are they? They're lost somewhere. So they went searching the next day and they found them huddled up to each other in the forest. So if Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is accepting, humbly accepting a bona fide spiritual master, then what to speak of all living entities? Otherwise, one is considered to be always bewildered, and his future is very uncertain. Just like in ordinary education, people take guidance from a teacher in the schools and universities. Even they have the textbooks on science or mathematics, biology, whatever it is, they cannot understand just by reading the textbooks. They have to take the guidance and instruction of the bona fide teacher. So what more to speak of understanding the science of Krishna consciousness? We cannot ascertain the meanings just by reading these transcendental literatures. Of course, we may get some understanding, but to have a full, complete understanding, we have to constantly take guidance and instruction from the bona fide spiritual masters, from our acharyas, guru, sadhu, and shastra. These three things can help us understand everything very clearly. The spiritual master, the previous acharyas, and the shastra. So we need to constantly take shelter of these things. In modern society, they don't take any guidance from learned authorities. Consequently, the whole population has no idea of the meaning of life. So there is chaos and strife all over the world. I was listening to one lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying that we should ask people, you know, what is your goal in life? What is the ultimate goal in life? People cannot answer. If they do have some answer, they'll simply say to, you know, enjoy, to gratify the senses, to the end of life. But this is animalistic life. The animals are simply engaged in these animal propensities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And if the human beings are engaged in these activities, the same mentality is there, but as Prabhupada would say, polished animals. The dogs and cats running on four legs, where is food, where is sex? The human beings running on four wheels, trying to make money to enjoy sex and food and sleep. Where is the advancement? So the Bhagavatam states, Na te vidur svatam katimi vishnum darasya yebihi atamanina.
They do not know that the goal of life is to reunite their eternal loving relationship with Krishna and go back home, back to the spiritual world. And therefore they're taking shelter of blind so-called masters in this world. And the result is that they all fall into the ditch of ignorance or illusion.
Yashastra vidimunshuja bhajate kamakarata nasasidam avapnuti nasukam na paramgatim.
Krishna says in the 16th chapter that he who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection, nor happiness, nor the supreme destination.
So we see the whole modern society, because they don't follow the bona fide scriptural injunctions or the advice of the bona fide authorities, then they cannot be happy, they cannot achieve the perfection of life, becoming self-realized and Krishna conscious, reuniting their eternal relationship with Krishna, and they cannot achieve the supreme destination of going back home, back to the spiritual world. Their future is very dark, unless they get the causeless mercy of the bona fide devotees of the Lord through this Krishna consciousness movement, through the wide spreading of the Harinam Sankirtan, Prasadam distribution, book distribution. If people get contact with these merciful incarnations of the Lord, then they can be saved from unlimited sinful reactions. Regarding the story of Ajamil, it states in the 6th canto, Sankircham Parayasham Va, Stobham Helanam Ibhava, that even if one chants the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, even if one chants neglectfully, derisively, for musical entertainment, jokingly, he's free from more sinful reactions than he could commit in millions of lifetimes. So even inattentively or jokingly chanting the holy name, one is immensely benefited. What to speak of if people sincerely chant or hear the holy name, or sincerely read these transcendental literatures, or sincerely associate with devotees and sincerely try to render some menial service for the pleasure of Krishna, they're unlimitedly benefited. They will receive at least a human form of life in their next life, so they can get more and more opportunity to engage in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada says, everyone in material life is engaged in sense gratification as if they were in the lower animal species. Consequently, people in the darkness of ignorance are constantly perpetrating the most horrible sinful activities and thinking there's no reaction to their activities. But an intelligent person, like a devotee, can see that the reaction is there constantly in the form of disease or poverty, anxiety, wars, crime, violence, natural disasters. Srila Prabhupada said in one lecture that because modern society, because they don't give proper respect or treatment to the brahmanas, the Vaishnavas and the cows, then the whole society is condemned and put in a situation of ruination and strife, constant strife and war. People do not know this secret, Srila Prabhupada would say, that if they just give proper respect and treat properly the brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, the cows, then the whole society can be rectified. So even though the situation in Kali Yuga is completely in darkness because of the influence of so many demoniac personalities, at the same time we have the medicine to wipe out this disease of illusion and ignorance. the Harinam Sankirtan, the wide dissemination of the glories of Krishna's name, fame, form and pastimes, is much more powerful than even the complete darkness of Kali Yuga. Krishna Vanam Tu Sakrishnam Sangopanga Shapashadam Yagna Sankatam Praya Jantihi Shimedasham. Intelligent persons take shelter of the Supreme Lord and His incarnation as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non-different from Krishna. He is accompanied by His associates, servants, weapons and confidential companions, and he's always singing and glorifying the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So here we see described that Lord Brahma, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, he's described as Vibhu and the personality of Godhead. Not that he is the supreme personality of Godhead, but he's called that, Srila Prabhupada explains, because he is the incarnation, he is the supreme personality of Godhead's incarnation of the mode of passion in the material world. He's non-different in the representative sense from the supreme personality of Godhead. So, we shouldn't be under the illusion that many of these great personalities are the Supreme Lord. There's, especially in Kali Yuga, there's a lot of misconceptions that different personalities like Lord Brahma or Shiva or Ganesh or Durga are the Supreme Lord, Supreme Being. They are representatives of Krishna, and they're given the same respect as Krishna, just like Srila Prabhupada says, the representatives in the parliament, like the ministers for trade or agriculture or education, they're given the same respect as the prime minister. But at the same time, they're not the prime minister. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he preached this philosophy of achincha, bheda, abheda, tattva, that simultaneously, all of the entities are the same as Krishna, but different at the same time. They have the same qualities, but in quantity, they are very small. Even Lord Brahma, he's just like a bubble in the ocean. So many Lord Brahmas appear in the lifetime of Lord Mahavishnu. Thousands and millions of Lord Brahmas. Every time Lord Mahavishnu breathes out, Lord Brahma is created, and when Lord Mahavishnu breathes in, then Lord Brahma is destroyed. So we can't fathom the lifetime of Lord Brahma, billions of years. Can anyone give the figure? It's hard to even fathom the figure. But his lifetime is just one breath of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu is just an expansion of Krishna. So even though Lord Brahma is the pure representative of the Supreme Lord, sometimes he's called Vibhu or the personality of Godhead, one should understand that he's very insignificant compared to the Supreme Lord Krishna. And sometimes Lord Krishna, just to put Lord Brahma in his place, has special leelas, which involve Lord Brahma. So we all know the Brahma Vimohan Leela, where Lord Brahma, he's seeing Krishna in his pastimes on this earth, playing with the cowherd boys, and he's thinking, no, I'm the Lord of the universe. Who is this little blue cowherd boy? I'll show him who the real Lord is. And so he comes along and steals away Krishna's calves and the cowherd boys. and hides them by his mystic power for some time. And after a year of his time, he comes back and he sees that Krishna is still playing with his calves and cowherd boys, and he's bewildered. He's thinking, what? I took them away, I've hidden them, and they're still here. And Krishna, in the meantime, has expanded himself into the calves and cowherd boys personally. And then Lord Brahma, in his bewildered state, when he comes back and realizes that he's been outsmarted by Krishna, he realizes that actually this is my Lord, I'm just an insignificant living entity, I've been completely outsmarted. And Krishna shows that all these cows and cowherd boys are expansions of himself, to Lord Brahma. And then Lord Brahma, he becomes very humbled and offers very sincere prayers for the glorification of Krishna. And this is the other story where Lord Brahma, he wants to see Lord Narayan in the spiritual world, and he goes to the doorkeepers. He says, I am Lord Brahma, I've come to see Lord Narayan. And they say, wait a minute, we'll have to just go and see our master. They go to see Lord Narayan, and he asks his servants, can you ask him which Lord Brahma he is? So they come back, and they ask, so which Lord Brahma are you? And he says, I am the Lord Brahma of the whole creation. And so they say, okay, we'll come in. And he comes into Vaikuntha to see Lord Narayan, and he pays his obeisances to Lord Narayan. And he's thinking, you know, I'm the only Lord Brahma. And immediately Krishna manifests, brings forth all the other Lord Brahmas. And our little Lord Brahma only has four heads, but some of the other Lord Brahmas had 100 heads and 1,000 and 1,000,000 and 10,000,000 heads. And they were all bowing down very humbly in the presence of Lord Narayan. So immediately our little Lord Brahma realized his insignificant position, that he was like a little ant in the presence of many great elephants. And there was another story where Bhrigu Muni, he was deputed by a number of sages. They were all trying to ascertain who was the greatest personality in the universe. So Bhrigu Muni was deputed as the person to find this out, so he could travel all throughout the universes, to all planets. So he went to Lord Shiva's abode, Kailash, and purposely he didn't bow down to Lord Shiva, and he criticized Lord Shiva, you're surrounded by ghosts and hobgoblins, you know, wearing skulls, and your followers are, you know, ghostly, haunted people, intoxicated people. And Lord Shiva immediately became very angry, and he picked up his trident and he wanted to kill Bhrigu Muni. But Parvati, she checked him. And Lord Shiva, he came back to his senses and didn't harm Bhrigu Muni, who was like his brother. And Bhrigu Muni, he observed that Lord Shiva was somewhat affected by anger. So silently, without saying anything, he went on, and he came to Lord Brahma's abode. And again, he didn't pay obeisances to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, he slightly was affected by anger. He didn't do anything, but slightly he felt some anger towards Bhrigu Muni, and very quickly he checked himself. And Bhrigu Muni, he observed this, and he left that place, and then he went to Vaikuntha. And in the presence of Lord Narayan, and he came right up to Lord Narayan. Not only did he not bow down, but he actually kicked physically Lord Narayan in the chest. And Lord Narayan said, oh, my dear sage, I must hurt your poor foot. My chest is so hard. And massaging Bhrigu Muni's feet. So Bhrigu Muni silently, he observed this, that he saw that not only was Lord Narayana not affected by anger, but he was so very merciful, thinking, no, I've hurt my dear devotee here, I have to serve him and help him. So Brigham Muni, he came back to the sages and he related his experiences, and he ascertained that according to his realization experience that Lord Narayana was the greatest personality. So these are very special leelas, and even though Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they are pure devotees of the Lord, sometimes the Lord, he engages them in these special leelas to show that even if great elevated personalities can be affected by anger or lust, then what to speak of ordinary living entities like us. One devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, sometimes Srila Prabhupada, I feel like I'm in Maya. Srila Prabhupada said, you're always in Maya. So this is a very... we're spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, attempting to spread this Krishna consciousness movement all around the world. It's a wonderful benediction in this darkness of ignorance of Kali Yuga, where people can be elevated from the lowest platform of, you know, malechas and yavanas to the topmost platform of being a loving, unalloyed servant of the Lord. So it's a very fortunate situation through the wonderful contact of this Krishna consciousness movement and the association of devotees and Srila Prabhupada's books, the holy names, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. These things are so powerful. They're different incarnations of the Lord for this age of Kali to extricate people from the depths of darkness, elevate them to the perfection of life. So this Sankirtan movement is very, very powerful. Even yesterday I went to the vegan festival and I was distributing books there, and people were very, very favourable. Many of them go to our restaurants. Some were vegan, some were vegetarian. A lot of them were taking books. And I just felt the atmosphere there was like, even they're not, they're not devotees. It's very different compared to just the ordinary street in these horrible cities. That it was a very, quite a peaceful atmosphere, and people were, you know, somewhat quite happy and smiling, and the atmosphere was quite light because basically all of the people there are vegetarian and vegan and quite open. Most of them were very open to, you know, hearing about spiritual subject matter. A lot of them, you know, have engaged in different types of yoga, meditation. Many of them have been to our Krishna conscious programs. So it's very, very nice that, and that the Krishna consciousness movement is having an effect, and there's like a real wave of interest in vegetarianism, veganism, yoga, meditation. And there was thousands of people there. So this is, these things are coming about all due to the Sangatan movement. People are becoming more conscious, more aware, more open-minded, more purified. Therefore they can think of higher principles of life and have developed compassion for other living entities. So Srila Prabhupada said, such a country like Australia would be covered, conquered by massive prasadam distribution and Harinam Sangatan. So it's very important to increase and constantly carry out these activities. The other day I went up north, northern Queensland, because I had my van up there. I've been doing some trips up to North Queensland. I drove the van up, then I was flying back a few times and going up and using the van for doing book distribution in different towns. So just recently I flew up to get the van and bring it back. And I had no books left in the van up there, so I thought I'd better take extra books because I was going to be away a week, do towns on the way down. And so I booked like 40 kilograms of books extra weight. And I packed two big suitcases, and I thought I weighed all the books, but I was a little bit over. And I was thinking, well, you know, I'll try and distribute the books before I go in the airport. And when I got to the airport, before I checked in, I just weighed the bags, and it was like 57 kilograms. I thought, gee, I better really go for it and try and distribute books, a lot of books, before I get on the plane. And, you know, I met a number of people. They took hardcover books, and one Indian, nice Indian man, he took three big books, gave $100. So I got the weight down a bit, but I was still a fair bit over. I think I was still 50 kilograms. And I went to the check-in, and I was a little bit over. And so I said to the lady, okay, I'll just get rid of a bit of weight. And I went around the back and had a shoulder bag and put some hard covers in the shoulder bag and came back, and I had 42 kilos in the two bags, and so she let me through. So then I was doing towns up in northern Queensland. I went to West Townsville. I'd never been before, just a suburb with a big shopping centre. And I had to get some new tyres on the van. And I thought, well, I may as well just work here while I'm waiting for the tyres and the service. And I was going around shop to shop and people in the mall. And people were so favourable and taking many books. It was very, very sweet. And then I was in Rockhampton, which is known as the beef capital of Australia. Big, big slaughterhouse. It's all based on slaughtering cows up there. They have, if you've ever been there, as you drive in the main road, they have these bulls, statues of bulls. The bulls look, you know, very glorious, but what are they doing to the bulls? They're killing them in the slaughterhouse. So, but even though it's the beef capital of Australia, it's like people, there's many people very, very favourable there, and many people getting into vegetarianism. There's a vegetarian restaurant there. A lot of people had contact with the movement. And I was just going, there's a devotee from Fiji, Amaraji, she runs programs there and in her house, and I was just going door to door around her house, and many nice people were taking the books. So wherever we go, there's people who are interested in Krishna consciousness. People are seeking shelter from the darkness and miseries, especially of Kali Yuga. I was in a little town way out west in New South Wales, and just a population of 2,000 people. Ordinarily, you know, you may think, oh, no, what's the use of doing such a town? There's no one there, no one on the street. So I was just doing the shops, and there was a supermarket there, IGA supermarket, and there were all these Indian people working there. And they bought hundreds of dollars worth of books, about four of them. And they asked me to do like Harinam outside the supermarket. So we have these wonderful gifts to give to people, so as much as possible we have to share. All of us have this wonderful responsibility, special responsibility, to give out the mercy of Krishna consciousness. Whether full-time or part-time, we should be engaged in these activities. Srila Prabhupada has stressed, especially book distribution, prasadam distribution, Harinam Sankirtan. And this will have a greatly purifying and elevating effect on the whole population. So does anyone have any questions? Comments. Let's read the verse again. The fortunate demigod said, O great one, just see this darkness, which you know very well, and which is causing us anxieties. Because the influence of time cannot touch you, there is nothing unmanifest before you. Yes, Mahabharata. It's all the mercy of my spiritual master, whatever little bit where any of us are doing. We couldn't do anything without the mercy of a spiritual master and all the association of so many wonderful devotees. So, we should never consider that our service is very significant. But together, you know, we can do a lot in this whole movement with so many thousands of devotees. We can have a big effect. What can we do by ourselves? Very little.
Lord Krishna is helping you.
Yeah, Lord Krishna is empowering all the devotees to do so many wonderful services. And devotees, they're so fixed and so enthusiastic, you know, year after year. It's very enlightening to see. once a devotee, you know, Krishna never forgets them. Even if seemingly they fall away for some time, Krishna will bring them back in time. Like Arjambil, he was trained as a brahmana, strict brahmana, Vaishnava, but he fell down and became engaged in the most abominable activities. Prostitute hunter and a thief and a drunkard. But at the end of his life, due to his previous devotional service, Krishna arranged that he was taken back home, back to Godhead. Not that we should think, oh, well, I've done so much service, now I can engage in so many nonsense activities and Krishna will make some wonderful arrangement for me. We shouldn't think like that. We should never give up the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. Always stick to this process. Srila Prabhupada was saying in one lecture that if we take vows to follow these principles, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meeting, no intoxication, chanting at least 16 rounds a day, and if we break these principles, break these promises to our spiritual master, this is, we're not even a gentleman. A gentleman never breaks his promise. So we should be very careful to avoid breaking these promises. And understand that we've been there before. We've experienced, tried to enjoy the material world. We've never been satisfied. So we should always remember our past and think that, no, there's no possibility of enjoying materially. There's no happiness on the material platform. The only happiness is in Krishna consciousness. And that happiness is unlimited. Anandam Bodhivardhanam. It's an ever-increasing ocean of transcendental happiness. And we're just getting one drop of that happiness. And that one drop is so blissful. What to speak if we achieve the pure love for Krishna. Krishna Prem. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's God himself, said, if I actually had love for God, I couldn't stand to live in this material world. No, even as aspiring devotees, we still have some attractions for this material world. But we have to give it up. Prabhupada was saying in another lecture that this whole Western civilization is based on increasing material happiness, increasing material pleasures. But spiritual life, Krishna consciousness, is based on decreasing these things. Decreasing eating, decreasing sleeping, decreasing mating, decreasing defending like this. To the point of nil. So we have to practice this. Just like up at New Govardhan. No, sometimes we get into a bit of illusion. We think, oh, such a nice place and beautiful atmosphere and wonderful mountains and clear air. But it's the material world. It's still full of birth, death, old age and disease. And Krishna says it's just a spark of my splendor.
That was Giriraj Maharaj in Bombay who said, from sometime here in Maya, Prabhupada, you're always in Maya.
Yeah. Yes, Prabhupada. Yeah, that's a good question. Well, we do hear that the demigods, they don't age to like the last year of their life. And certain personalities like Lord Brahma, at least our Lord Brahma in this universe, he's considered a pure devotee and said that at the end of his duration, he doesn't take another birth, but he goes straight back to the spiritual world. And all his associates go with him. But still, it's a good question, because we understand on the one hand that Lord Brahma has even though his life seems practically eternal, it still has a limited duration, and he has to give up that position, even though he might go to the spiritual world. So it seems like his life is getting affected by old age and death. That body has to be given up. But here, it's stating that he's not affected by time. So I can't give an exact answer. I don't know if anyone has an answer. Yeah, because that's a good answer, because he's the representative of Krishna. Yeah, Prabhupada says, therefore the influence of the time cannot affect him. Well, that's a good point, that it's not that his body is not getting older and coming closer to death, that he's not affected. He's not affected by time. In other words, his consciousness is not affected. Like a pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, his body was getting older, and there was disease, and Prabhupada left his body, but he wasn't affected in his consciousness. I think that's the point you're getting at, Mahaji. Yeah, so he's totally fully Krishna conscious in all situations. We see with Srila Prabhupada, even though his body had so many diseases, he was always fully Krishna conscious. Even on his deathbed, he was still translating the Srimad Bhagavatam very, very conscious. So in that way, he wasn't affected by the influence of time. So we could say similarly with Lord Brahma. That's, yes, how we can understand. Thank you, Manaji. Anyone else? Just speak up a little bit. That's a good point. The pure devotees, they're not forced to take birth in this world.
No matter how long it is,
they come because Krishna sent them here.
Yeah.
And similarly, they're not forced to leave this world. In the Bhagavad Gita, we read how the pure devotees, the elevated souls, they can choose even when to leave this world. And they leave at an auspicious time, auspicious circumstances. So not like an ordinary conditioned soul is forced to take birth. It was forced to die. So yeah, they're very special personalities. Yes.
How can we stay determined in our Krishna consciousness?
By especially staying nicely situated in association of devotees. If you stay surrounded by very fixed up devotees, there's a good chance you'll be able to stay enthusiastic and fixed up, and alongside with associating devotees, always chant sincerely rounds and follow strictly the principles, and always read these transcendental literatures, engage in service throughout the day. There'll be no room for Maya. Like the Prabhupada said, the sandwich program. You have the morning program is like one piece of bread, the evening program is like the other piece of bread, and your service through the day, that's like the sandwich within, and if it's tightly wrapped up, the sandwich is tightly wrapped up, that's like your dedication and your sincerity. So yeah, association of devotees is the most important thing, because we may think, well, I don't need association, I can practice Krishna consciousness in my own time by myself at home. I've got my books and I'm chanting on my rounds and I have my own deities and I offer my own food in my house. But how long can you do it for without associating with the devotees? One stick is easily broken, a bunch of sticks very difficult to break. So even you have everything, but you're not associating with devotees, you'll probably break after some time. So association with devotees is the most important thing, most powerful thing in the whole three worlds. Because it's by the association of devotees that we've become inspired to chant our rounds, to read the books, to engage in devotional service, to preach like that. Like one pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, because of his association through either his personal association or his association through his books and his deity form and his movement, thousands of us devotees all around the world have been inspired to stick to Krishna consciousness. One pure devotee, and he's created now millions of very elevated devotees all around the world now. You want to add something? You should make it up if you can, in your own house or if at work, to the rest of the morning program at another time of the day. It's important to sing all the songs. So like especially when you've got a family, it's difficult to be at the whole morning program all the time. I know that myself. I can't go to the morning program at the farm that much. I can go to some of it, Mongol Aarti and some Japa, then I have to come home and help with the children, getting them dressed and bathing and feeding them and driving them to school. So you have to be practical, but no, you can make up the prayers in your own time like that. You always have to chant your rounds and have some service you're engaging in. Chant all the prayers, make sure you keep up your reading, follow the principles, and as much as possible come to the temple of the Lord. Like Srila Prabhupada was saying in another lecture, how some devotees in one temple in America, they, especially the grihasthas, they weren't taking prasadam from the temple. And Prabhupada was stressing how important it is to come and take prasadam at the temple. And he was saying his own experience, he used to go to a few temples in India regularly, like the Sunday feast, and he'd pay the temple for getting prasadam. And he used to experience himself, this is a wonderfully enlivening and purifying experience as a grihastha himself. So he was stressing that devotees, they shouldn't avoid taking prasadam, especially the prasadam in the temple. The Mahaprasad is very potent, very powerful. And along with all the other wonderful benefits of coming to the temple. Any other ladies have anything they'd like to add? Any questions?
Yes, you've been speaking in various ways about the darkness that's reaching the worst. So my particular darkness is when I'm out in the street, I really hate rejection. When people say, that people won't even let you approach them with the book. Can you work through that?
Yeah, it's takes a lot of courage and determination to push through that, because you do get so many rejections, even though you might meet a lot of nice people and they take the books, they're interested to talk and hear. Same time, there's a lot of people who are very ignorant and just reject you, and they're not even polite, or they may even say nasty things, and you have to be very tolerant and patient and keep up your compassion and keep up your determination to stay out there and stick out there under all circumstances. So it takes a lot of practice, and constantly you have to remind yourself of the importance of going out and giving the conditioned souls the chance to receive Krishna consciousness, because without the devotees, they have no hope. How many of them are coming here to the temple? So we have to take the temple out to them on the street. And also understand that this is very purifying. These rejections are actually, at the same time, they may be very hard to take for the false ego. Because all of us, probably most of us, have some. There's some false ego still, even though we're trying to purify it. Speaking for myself. So it's hard for the false ego, but it's actually very purifying. If people reject us and or even say nasty things, it's very humbling. You know, we may think, you know, I'm an important devotee, I'm the temple president, I'm the head pujari, the head cook. You know, I give classes in the temple. But when you go out in the street, you're just raised to the equal platform of everyone else. No one out there, they don't care if you're the temple president or the GBC or sannyasi, they don't care. So it's actually very purifying. Everyone should engage in this activity of going out and preaching on the street, trying to distribute books. And Vijay Prabhu, who's the minister for book distribution, he said that he's come to the realization where he thanks people on the street when they reject him or say no thanks. He says, thank you very much for your time. Nice to meet you. Hare Krishna. Because he feels he's getting purified, humbled through the rejection. So we have to see it in that light also. And just keep pushing on, because Krishna will send the nice people. And then it's also very sweet. For an elevated devotee, he's taken all situations as sweet. Yeah. Three, what is it? Six P's of success. Patience, perseverance, prasadam. Two or three others. Can't remember what they are. Anyway, so yeah. And just try to be happy in all situations. Just think that, well, you know, it's this soul is not ready, so I just should be respectful and be nice to them and thank them for their time and Hare Krishna, have a nice day. Like that. And just go to the next person with a big smile on your face. So we have to be detached from the result. The result is up to Krishna. The result is for Krishna's pleasure. Kamani evadi kadaste ma phalesha vidachana ma phala kama hetabu ma te sangos kamani. In Bhagavad Gita 2:47, Krishna says, you have a right to perform your prescribed duty. You're not entitled to the result. Never consider yourself the cause of the result of your activity. Never be attached to not doing your duty. So we have a right to perform our prescribed duty of serving Krishna, but the results are for Krishna's pleasure. We should never consider ourselves that we're the cause of the result. Krishna is the cause. And don't be attached to not doing our duty. It's all of our duty to preach Krishna consciousness. So we should not like hide away from this opportunity to render our service of preaching. Going to the Himalayas, or, you know, like Prahlad Maharaj says, I see many saintly people going to the Himalayas for meditation, for spiritual elevation, but they're not interested to go to preach in the big cities and towns. Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm more interested to go to the big cities and towns and take all these fallen conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. So it's we have very big responsibility. So as much as possible, according to our enthusiasm, determination, conviction, we should actively preach Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, only a dead man can't preach. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much for your attention. Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhagatam ki, Gaur Premanandi.